Hello, hello. You are currently listening to CITR 101.9 FM. My name is Valley, like a valley, but spelt a little bit differently, and I am currently located in the studio here at CITR, which is located on the ancestral, traditional, and unceded territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. We have a guest with us here in the studio today. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Of course, of course. Very happy to have you. We were just chatting a little bit and getting a little plan together for the hour. So we have some fun music for you here and also a fun little interview. So this is Sylvie Cox, who is a musician. Where are you from? Where are you based?
I'm from San Francisco originally, but I spent a lot of time in Greece and I kind of grew up there and went to high school there and then came back to Vancouver to go to UBC.
Do you speak Greek?
Λίγο.
Πρέπει να το κάνουμε στα ελληνικά.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
That's so crazy.
Mine's horrible.
I did
Mine's
not
horrible.
Know that.
That's wild.
So funny. Oh my goodness. Where in Greece?
I went to high school in Athens.
Okay.
And now my parents live on Paros, like that.
Okay, yeah.
Island, and I'm going home to visit them in like 2 weeks, so I'm really excited.
Oh my goodness, that's so funny. Wow. Well, welcome, welcome. Great to have you here. So I mentioned a little bit before that I have a couple of, you know, fun little icebreaker questions to get us started. The first one we actually chatted a little bit about, but in your Spotify photo, I noticed a dog and I wanted to know who it is.
Her name is Kitten. That was the dog that I got to name. And her name is Kitten because when we got her, we found her like through Craigslist and they picked her up on a street corner from this family and she had all these cuts on her neck.
Oh, no.
And we, I guess, adopted her. But
yeah,
she was like the size of my palm and like a little, just so fluffy and cute. And we named her Kitten. And she's very dumb. But the vibes are there. Like, she has good intentions. She's, like, the sweetest.
She tries.
Yeah.
It's the thought that counts, mm-hmm. You know? Okay.
She's not book smart, but she knows what's going
street
on.
Street smart.
She has the vibes. Know? Yeah.
Yeah, the vibes. There you go. That's funny. My second question is, the name Sylvie kind of reminds me of silver. And so I was thinking, you know, silver reminds me of jewelry. Do you prefer silver or gold jewelry?
I prefer gold jewelry.
Okay. Is there a reason or just the aesthetic?
Well, I like always wear this necklace.
Ooh,
and it's gold, so it just kind of like has to be that way.
What is it? Is that
it's
like
a Jewish star?
Oh, cool. Very nice.
Mazel tov.
Mazel tov. There you go. Cool. Yeah, I was thinking about that too when I was like coming up with that question, you know. Thought it took me a while to come up with that one. Yeah. Also not very book smart, so you know, we try. But yeah, I was thinking about it and I really love gold jewelry, but the problem with gold jewelry is that if it's fake, it always leaves those horrible green marks on my fingers.
I think I have one.
I think you might. Yeah,
it's right there.
Yeah,
this one's really. Yeah. Oh,
that got it. Yeah. So I don't know. It's so annoying. Whereas silver, you can get like
stainless
platinum,
steel.
It's stainless
steel,
exactly. And so you don't have that problem if you're looking for cheaper jewelry. It's the bane of my existence. That.
It's a dilemma.
Makes me really sad. It is a huge dilemma. You're like, should I pay $500 for one tiny little ring? Or should I get metal poisoning, whatever it is?
Silver's like cooler, I feel
Silver's
like.
It's cooler. But it does, I don't know. Like gold just looks so lovely. I don't know. Yeah. And then my last little question was if you could transform any UBC building into kind of like the stage or the venue of your dreams, which one would it be?
Hands down, the chemistry building. I don't
wow.
even have to think
okay.
about that.
I know. That was so
bad. Yeah,
I was like,
no. well, honestly, that building could use a little bit of love, and I spend too much time in there, and it's like just so old and like beautiful, but mm-hmm. the huge glass windows that are like kind of like those old fashioned glass.
Yeah.
So I would just like that one old building, not the whole chem building.
Okay.
Because
no,
like
no.
the newer part.
Yeah.
Screw that part, like the old part.
I agree. I remember in my first year I was like, oh my god, I was like taking chemistry 121. which I failed.
romanticizing it with the building, though.
Counts, you know? But yeah, I walked in and I was like, it's going to be in this building. It's so beautiful. And then it was in like the add-on. And I was like, this is so great. This looks like a prison building. So like, funny. I hate this. Yeah. So no, I see the vibe. I see the vibe. I love it. Okay, wonderful. Well, we had chosen a couple of your songs to play throughout our little chat today. Is there one that you would like to start off with, or should I just pick a random
you
one?
Pick. Pick
a random.
You're the professional.
Okay. The professional. Yeah, did you know I interviewed the wombats?
Yeah. Who knew? This is your daily reminder, guys. She interviewed the wombats.
All right. I'm going to say Halfway to Blue. Do you have a little blurb about it, or should we just listen and enjoy?
This song means a lot to me because it was one of the first songs that I wasn't like alone really. Mm-hmm. This song like was the first one I put out with like a record label, mm-hmm. so it was more like felt like there was other people that believed in me, which is really nice. Yeah. So it means like a lot to me. Like That's it has nice. A special place.
That like music community, I feel like is always very important. All right, here is Halfway to Blue by Sylvie Cox.
I can commit you to memory, but I can't seem to forget you. Never could tell what was real and what was fake, but my heart was always devoted. Listening back to recordings on my phone, and I swear I can still see you. Take me down, old moments of ours, and I'll find pain to replace you. And I want you to leave me some.
I'm right. So I have some interest in your background as a musician. How old were you when you realized that, you know, music was something that not only you enjoyed, but something that you were passionate enough in to kind of pursue?
I've been writing music since I was really young. Like not like good stuff, like songs about my dogs and stuff, but I've been doing it for a while and I guess it's gotten better. But I think I used to be really nervous because there's like, if you say I'm going to try to do music 100%, I'm going to give it 100%, that's like a very scary thing for me to do. And it just really opens you up to failure, and it's scary. But I've been like lucky enough to be able to give it my, I think I give it my 100% when I am not in school. Like I'll do a lot of work and stuff in the summers and stuff. And I produce my own music. So when I'm not at school, I can do it in my house, which makes it very just accessible for me, which I'm so lucky to have. And like knowing how to like produce music and actually make it is so important to me, because then you can do it anytime. It doesn't have to be like I'm giving my 100%, I have to drop out of school. You can like kind of do both at the same time.
It's true. So it's kind of like part-time job, really. That's cool. So you produce your own stuff. Have you produced all your music?
Yes, everything on Spotify except for the one collaboration I did.
I saw that one.
But yeah, and my dad is really into that too, so we usually work together on it, and like I'll help him with a song, and then we just send each other songs all day. It's really nice.
That's really nice. Yeah, that's cool. So when you're thinking about, okay, you sit down today and you're like, I'm gonna make a new song, does that happen? Is it that you can sit down and kind of tell yourself to do it? Or does it, is it more of a spur of the moment? Inspiration comes and then you work on it.
I think it can be like either way. I usually write the lyrics and the song separately.
What comes first?
Usually, because I'll like, I write some poetry too. So if I'm, maybe I'll go to like a beautiful place and I can kind of sit down and like write some thoughts. Like that one, I don't really like, or I'll get a little inspiration during the day. But with actually writing like the music and the melody and stuff, mostly I'll just jam in my room by myself for a long time and then record something I come up with that sounds good and then put lyrics on it later usually, and then kind of just build it from there.
That's really cool. And when you think about that music versus production side of things, do you feel that you have one that you maybe not prefer, but that you're more like comfortable with, or have you reached like a level where you're really good, where you're really like great at managing both?
Yeah, no, I wasn't ever like professionally trained in producing, so I kind of do what I do. I do it and then I think it sounds good and then I'm like, I don't really know if it's the right way you should be doing it. So it's kind of like bedroom pop lo-fi, you know?
Yeah.
Like I don't really know if, I don't think that's how like a professional would do it, and I'm not a professional in that.
Yeah.
But I think it sounds good and I've gotten so much better, especially in the last like year or 2 years, kind of since COVID. I was just doing it all the time. And with songwriting and with performing live, I mean, that's just something that's I always kind of feel comfortable with. And I think my songwriting's getting a lot better with age and experiences.
No more songs about the dogs.
No more songs about the dogs, unfortunately.
That's cool. So you find that like performance and the songwriting part comes a little bit more naturally.
Yeah, for sure.
That's great though, because I feel like, I don't know, whenever I hear like production, like I don't know how to produce, and I always find that production's like super confusing to me. So even people who are like, oh, you know, like I'm, like you said, like not a professional, stuff like that, like hearing the production on your stuff, like, it sounds super professional to me. So I think that
Thank you. Yeah, no, definitely.
But I think that that's always such a cool, maybe, like, people's perspectives on stuff, like, when they do something versus when they have no idea about it.
Yeah, it's a very, like, intimidating thing to get into, too. And I was lucky enough that my father was, like, really into it from a young age.
Yeah.
Like, I think we had... He got his first, like, Ableton package when I was, like, 12, so I was working on it then. But when I listen back to my old stuff, I'm not, and I'm like, oh, I can't listen to that song. It's not usually because I hate the actual song.
Yeah.
Like, I love the song, and I love the songwriting, and it'll mean something to me, but the production, I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Disaster.
Fair enough, fair enough. Yeah, I'm always, my friend who, like, produces my stuff, he's always like, no, no, just try it. Like, you know, like, try a little bit. And I'm like, no, it's not, that's not my area of expertise.
You should try it. It could be.
Yeah.
It's fun to have, like, 100% control.
Yeah, that, I do like the idea of that. Are there any of your songs that you're very proud of the production itself?
Yeah, not like I Need You, for sure. That
Ooh,
was
okay.
The most
I'm keeping that one for a little later.
Okay,
but that's a little sneak peek for you guys. Actually, it's a cool little title for you to look out for later on as well.
That one, and I really like Better Together too. That was kind of like one of the more like rock songs the first ones I did, which was I was also kind of scared to do.
Yeah,
like I kind of felt like stuff had to be singer songwritery for a really long time, and I was nervous to like. Venture into that world, but that one I really like too.
That's cool too, because I feel like it's nice having songs that you like because of the lyrics or because of, you know, the music or the melody or because of the production. I find that that's always really cool as well, how, you know, different songs have different attributes if we want. We could listen to Better Together.
Sure.
What's the inspiration behind this song?
This song is about my best friend Lyra. Shout out. During COVID, we were separated and it was really sad.
And I was like, aw.
And I think I just missed her a lot. And this is my best friend song.
That's really cute. I love that. Oh, I'm really looking forward to this. All right. Here is Better Together.
Do, baby. escaping the love fest we outgrew.
To a little more like current affairs, let's say. So you mentioned kind of how you grew up surrounded by like that production and music side and how you've been writing for a really long time, which is great. How have you managed kind of balancing life and music, like especially during like the pandemic, not to bring up, you know, the dreaded P word. But like, yeah, how did you, do you think that that helped your music, or do you think that it, you know, was kind of like an obstacle?
I was so depressed. Yeah. So in that way, it helped my music. I wrote a lot of like, I wrote one of my like favorite songs ever, that I haven't put out, because it's too emo. So I guess that kind of helped, but like I was spent most of the pandemic like with my family, with not very many other people my age around, but it was a beautiful experience, and I'm like grateful to look back on it and be like, I grew so much.
Yeah.
I'm so much older emotionally and everything now. So. And now, I mean, I'm mostly focused on, like, getting better at live performing, which kind of, not that it's less of a time commitment, but, like, than, like, writing and producing music during the school year, but it's just kind of really, really fun.
Yeah.
So it's really easy to make time for it.
It's more like an event, and if you have, like, friends and stuff that go as well, like, it just makes it less, like, work and more just, like... It's super fun, you know.
And I've never had a band before this year, so it's just such an insane, amazing experience to, like, have, like, your best friends really into your music and wanting to play your music, and it's just so sweet
that
and nice.
That is super sweet. That is such a lovely story. That's really nice. I feel like, you know, I've interviewed quite a few bands who have just, like, the randomest stories of how they met, And you'll hear, like, very few where it's like, oh, we were actually all, like, super good friends and, like, decided to, like, do this together.
Yeah, no,
it's
I guess like, we're friends now because we...
Because of the band.
Because of the band more.
I see, there you go.
Yeah. But, it, like, I just, one day I was, like, it, my guitar player, Jack, mm-hmm. Who's incredible. Shout out Jack Zhao.
Jack. Shout out.
He was like, we should make a band. And he's always been such a big supporter of my music. Yeah. So it's just so, he's so sweet.
That's really sweet.
And then I just posted on my Instagram. I was like, who plays the drums?
Yeah. Honestly, that's how it is. Like, I feel like Instagram's becoming such a tool for bringing people together.
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
Especially, I always notice that as soon as the summer rolls around, it's everyone being like, does anyone want to sublet my
I know.
Apartment? Like, please.
Like, I promise it's really
friends.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's really clean. There's no mold. I promise.
Oh. Do you want to hear a fun little story?
Absolutely.
Okay. So I've been looking for furniture because I'm moving to a new place at the end of May. And I found this desk on Facebook Marketplace. And I was like, this desk is perfect. It's a cute little desk. It's like not too big, not too small. It's perfect.
It's perfect.
I show up at this lady's house. She's like, oh yeah, it's down in the basement. So I go down to the, I like brought a friend with me just, oh you know, God. Just in case.
Please, down to the
yeah,
basement.
Yeah, really. But she was like, yeah, like come in. So we go in and she's like, yeah, this is the desk. And she's like, oh, it's a little bit dirty, but like you can clean it and it'll be fine. So we take it home. I go to bed. I wake up the next morning. I'm like, What is this stuff? I'm like trying to like wipe the inside of the drawers and I'm
Jesus.
Like, this isn't coming out. It was mold. This lady gave me a moldy desk. But so I like Googled like how to get rid of mold. I was like doing so much, you know, academic work. I was like, wow, mold removal, a WikiHow. And it was like, you know, using vinegar and using bleach. And I didn't have bleach. So I was going around knocking on people's doors, being like, does anyone have bleach? I was like, I'm moving out in a month. Like, no shame left, you know?
No shame, yeah.
I got bleach and then I sat in the stairwell of my building for like 6 hours scrubbing this mold.
How much did you pay for this desk? Was it worth it?
It was free. It was free.
I don't know.
You know, mm-hmm. But it's a cute desk, okay?
Okay.
So this is the mold. Okay, for people who are listening in, I'm showing Sylvie a picture of moldy drawers from this desk, okay?
That's not worth the free.
That's the after.
Wow.
Wow.
You should send that into, like, those home improvement shows.
Hashtag Bob the Builder.
Yeah. Bob the Builder.
Like, hire me for any mold removal services you have. But look at the desk. The desk is so cute.
Oh, it's really cute.
It's a really cute desk.
Blue. She didn't mention that it's, like, turquoise.
I painted the drawers.
Oh, cute.
To match the color scheme, you know? You gotta
match.
Gotta
match.
Do it. Yeah. So that was my little mold adventure. Sorry, that was a huge tangent. I'm just very proud of myself.
Dude, you should be. That's a work of art. Masterpiece.
That was my first, like, furniture flip vibe thing.
Yes.
No big deal. But yeah, okay, so what were we talking about? Oh yeah, using Instagram to, like, get people together. Yeah, that's cool. So you mentioned you're doing more, like, live performances and stuff. Have you had a favorite so far?
We haven't had that many. Like, we're about like 3 months into having a band.
I mean, fair enough.
Maybe like 2 months, I don't know. But I really like the culture of like these house parties with bands that play. It's just so fun. And it's more fun for me at least than like a regular house party where you're just kind of hanging out and now but like you have like there's so many amazing UBC bands and stuff like that
definitely.
would love to play those kind of shows and people get so into it. It's so fun. I love that. I hope they continue because it's such a good thing UBC has.
Definitely. I agree. I think especially like now with the summer coming up, that'll be nice. People can do like backyard, like outside shows as
cute.
Well, which is super nice. Yeah, I went to a house party in my second or third year, I can't remember, and it was at this girl's house, and I was like, oh, you know, it's a house party. Like, I went with my friend Kirsten, And I was like, yeah, it's going to be like a normal party.
Yeah.
And then she was like, yeah, everyone's in the garage. And I was like, oh,
everybody's
okay.
in the
like,
basement that's about to cave in.
Yeah. I was like, oh, okay, sure. So we like go to the garage and there was just like a band in there. And they had like this really cool like pink lighting thing going on.
Oh,
and
so
I was
cool.
like, this is so cool. This is what those American films that I grew up watching promised me that North America would be like.
Really?
Yeah. So yeah. That was a selling point. So I was glad I got to experience that. And so you spoke a little bit earlier about, you know, doing poetry and kind of getting inspired by, you know, if you see something pretty or if you see something that does just inspire you on the spot. But would you say that you have any musical inspirations?
Oh, yeah. Since I was a kid, I've been obsessed with Lana Del Rey, which I feel like is very obvious. And
like vocal vibes.
Yeah. Lately, like that's where I kind of am most inspired for like vocals and stuff like that. But as for songs and production, I love the Cocteau Twins and Tame Impala. I love Tame Impala. Like I like really big synths and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I would say those guys are kind of up there for me. And like some like older like 90s girl singer pop rock kind of things.
Cool. Yeah, lots of like different inspirations.
Yeah,
I feel that's nice. Yeah, I definitely got the like Lana Del Rey like in the vocals. She has such a nice voice. I was saying you also have like such a beautiful
voice.
So time for some adverts, everyone. Here you go.
Looking to get a reliable and affordable used bike? Need a repair or service to your current ride?
Come to the Bike Kitchen, UBC's full-service community bike shop, located in room 36 of the UBC Life building. Our hours are Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m.
If you buy a bike from us, bring it back when you're done using it, and we'll give you half of your money back, as long as you took care of it. If it needs repairs, we'll split the cost with you.
Yep, you heard us right. We'll give you crisp dollar bills for half the original price of any used bike that you buy from us, minus the cost of repairs.
For more information about our buyback policy and to stay up to date on any COVID-19 inspired changes, find us online at thebikekitchen.com.
Coming all the way from Liverpool, Boston Manor plays at the Hollywood Theater on April 29th. Get your tickets now at hollywoodtheater.ca.
Down again, 'cause I know that I'm right. The world ain't watching the waves roll by, waiting for the tides to rise. Honey, if that's all I can do, it's alright. If sitting, waiting for the clouds to part, honey, I know it's not my fault. I know that's all I can do tonight, and it's alright.
So I know I gotta be patient, baby. It's just a matter of time. I let you have your way this once, 'cause I know that I'm right. Just sitting and watching the waves go by.
Listening to CITR 101.9 FM here at UBC. I'm chatting to Sylvie Cox at the moment, a little bit about music, a little bit about inspiration, and moving now into Not Like I Need You, which is your latest song. I was wondering what, you know, what are the topics, what are the themes of the lyrics in this piece?
I wrote this song when I was, like, in a really, 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 really good place. It was, like, the first time that I felt like I had a lot of people on my side. Mm-hmm. Like, I put this song out. Like, I had just, like, started working with Terrible Records on their distribution end.
Terrible.
So I, like, felt like there was somebody that, like, believed in me that was, yeah, like, other than my parents and my friends who, like, are going to love me no matter what. Mm-hmm. And kind of like finally being able to move on, yeah, from a person that I was very hung up on. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what it's about, I guess. And just like comes from a really place of like working on yourself, mm-hmm, and like being able to like be confident in your abilities going forward, I guess.
Mm-hmm. How would you say your sound has changed, like this song compared to some of the first stuff that you put out?
Yeah, a ton. I used to be like very self-conscious, mm-hmm, especially about stuff I put out, like feeling like I wasn't allowed to do like rock stuff or stuff like that. Like I had to, I don't really know why, but like that I had to stick to the singer-songwriter girl and her guitar thing, mm-hmm, which there's nothing wrong with that. Like, but it just like the songs I was writing and the ideas I had in my head just didn't really match that. And so recently, within the last couple years, I've been feeling like I'm allowed to and like write a really fun like dancey, mm-hmm, song, so, mm-hmm, yeah.
I was gonna say this song is like quite upbeat and like very, just hit the microphone a little bit, but very like animated. What genre do you think this is?
I guess like dream pop, I kind of think. I don't really know.
Yeah,
like some sort of pop.
Yeah, pop, like
dance. I don't know. Yeah.
No, that's fair. I got my Spotify Wrapped last year now. And it was like, you've listened to like 62 genres. And I was like, aren't there like 5 genres? Like, what is this?
What are the 62?
And I was like, I've never heard of any of
these. They get specific,
yeah. They get really specific. Even when you're like submitting music, it's always like, what genre is this? And there's like,
what mood?
A million different options.
Is this song romantic?
You should just tell me. Like, you should listen to it and tell me what it is. I don't know. Like, what genre? Okay, so that's cool. So a nice little story behind that. Do you have, actually not just for this song, but do you have a favorite lyric that you've written?
Oh, I really like, I worked really hard on the lyrics for a song I'm probably going to put out soon.
Ooh, sneak peek.
But is emo.
Okay, I love good emo sad music.
So I think that's probably the favorite song I've ever written, and like my, like I feel like are my best lyrics is in that one.
Mm-hmm.
But in Not Like I Need You, I like Never Miss What Never Was. I think I like that one.
Ooh, I like that too, yeah.
Ooh, thanks. And yeah, I think I like that one the best.
Okay. What about music and like melody? Do you have a song that really stands out to you?
Yeah. I guess I really like Not Like I Need You. I also really like Matter of Time, like for music and melody, but for production, like Not Like I Need You is definitely my best work so far, so I'm really proud of that one.
Okay, well, I think we've teased the listeners enough. We can listen to it right now. Here is Not Like I Need You.
There is a drinking water settlement for First Nations, and the claims process is now open. If you are a First Nations member impacted by a long-term drinking water advisory, you may be eligible for compensation. This is the first drop in recognizing those communities impacted. Submit your claim at firstnationsdrinkingwater.ca.
Hey, it's Tim Darcy from COLA. Our album Deep in View is out this spring, and you can see us at the Biltmore in Vancouver on July 11th.
Wonderful. Okay. Well, we're going to be wrapping up soon. We're nearing the end of the hour. But I was wondering if there was anything else about just music or about, you know, your music specifically as well that you maybe wanted to mention. Anything that's coming next? Anything that's people can put down in a calendar? Anything like that?
Unfortunately, nothing for the calendar yet. I've just been writing, like, a lot of music, and I have so many songs that I want to put out. I'm just kind of, I'm bad at finishing things.
Yeah. Is it like procrastination or perfectionism?
No, it's like I want to be really sure.
Okay.
Because in my older stuff, I would rush it, and now I look back and I'm like, wow, I really wish I spent a little more time doing that instead of just rushing to put it out. And like with Not Like I Need You and some of the other songs, I spent a good year. Like I'll write the song pretty quick and then just doing the production, leaving it for 3 months, listening to it on the bus, whatever. And then finally like being like, okay, it's done. And now there's nothing I would change about that song. So I want to be in that mindset. Yeah.
No, that's fair. I like the cover art for this song as well. And I like the cover art a lot for Better Together. With that's a different dog, though.
That's the other dog's best friend.
Okay. I was like, oh.
Yeah, she was, like, jumping around the whole time. My dad took that photo during quarantine.
Best friend.
Yeah.
Of the dog, but also because it's a song about. That's super cute. Wow. Yeah. I just made that up. I don't know if that's why that other dog is in it, but, you know.
So accurate.
You're welcome.
Perfect.
Wonderful. Okay. Well, we have a couple songs to kind of play us out here today. But before we play those, I just want to say thank you so much for coming to chat. It's been really,
thank
really
lovely. Thank you so much for having me.
Definitely. Come back anytime.
Oh my gosh. Just live here.
Part of the family now, you know. So we have Open Water and we have Our World Now. Any closing statements?
No.
Just listen and vibe.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. All right. Wonderful. Well, here is Open Water and Our World Now, and go listen to Sylvie Cox on everything, on Spotify, on Instagram as well. All your links are there. Mm-hmm. So, cool. All right. Here we are. And I'll see you next week, by the way. Actually, I might not. I need to check. But I will probably see you next week. Bye. Oh,
break it down. Lately it just turns around. You're the one thing I never thought I would need, leading me back and forth. Baby, hold it down. Lately it just turns around. You're the one thing I never thought I would need. Oh, when it comes undone.